This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every week we're going to be here doing life together with you. And we're so glad that you joined us.
Dr. Linda, it's great to be back on the radio with you again on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
And I'm excited that we're with Faith Radio.
This
is a great audience. I, a lot of times, go on Austin Hill's show in the morning and have been talking to the Faith Radio audience. We just have issues when it comes up during football, but we're not in the football season, so we're all good.
When you say issues, do you mean there's some headbutting going on?
There's a little bit of, I'm not a Vikings fan, but now don't turn off the radio just because you heard that.
Right.
You know, I grew up, a lot of times I lived in Chicago of my life, so, you know, the Bears are kind of my team, but.
Exactly. Then there you are in Minneapolis.
I know.
And
all over the Midwest. So we've got Green Bay Packer fans who'll be listening to us, a whole bunch of people.
You do have an opportunity to keep in touch with Dr. Linda at Facebook, Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps. We want your input, so tell us about it on social media, Facebook, Twitter, that type of thing. And Dr. Linda, you have a new book out.
I do have a new book.
It's called Look, We Need to Talk.
Well, the look isn't in the title, but We Need to Talk.
Tell us about the book. You just had a book signing as well.
I did. We launched it. It's gotten great reviews. But here's the fun thing about the book, Chris. If you go on to my website, Dr. Linda Mental, it's just my name, drlindamental.com, you go on, you click on the banner with the picture of the book, you can take the conflict quiz. It's a free quiz.
Right.
And if you take it, it will spit out your conflict style. And you can look at the type of style that you have. And then if you really want to be brave, you can give it to somebody who you love or you're intimate with, and they can take it.
I did take that quiz yesterday.
You did?
Last night, the assessment. Turns out I am a negotiator.
Like what percentage negotiator?
Well, I didn't look. What does that mean? This will help explain what's happening on this assessment.
Well, the assessment will rate you on your conflict style. So one of the styles is negotiator. Mm-hmm. There's other styles of avoider and reactor and different styles. And it will give you a percentage. So your percentage that's the highest means that that's primarily your style.
Okay,
but then if you scroll down a little farther, it'll tell you how much of a percent you are of those other type of styles too.
So when you say a negotiator in this case, am I someone who just ramrods the situation and says, we are going to solve this right now? Or do I say, hey, let's solve our problems?
Well,
how do you know?
Both ways. You just, the issue for you is that you do want to address problems when they come up.
Right.
But we're going to deal with that subject in a couple of weeks. We're going to have a whole show on conflict, and we probably will do multiple shows on that because it's a life skill that everybody needs.
It's amazing how you can, the people you love the most are the ones that, through conflict, you can have a lot of problems with.
Or you can really grow your relationships and make them intimate. And that's the point of the book, is that we want to not let conflict destroy relationships or create tension and problems all the time. We want conflict to really be that thing that grows us.
Right.
So it's the Holy Week. It's the Holy Week. We just got through Holy Week. We had Good Friday yesterday. You know, have you ever heard people ask you, I've had children a lot of times ask me, what's so good about Good Friday?
Yeah, exactly. What happened on Good Friday that makes it good?
Yeah, it is kind of an interesting thing because we most of us know that it was the day that Jesus was put on the cross and that he suffered and died. But the important point of Good Friday is that there was a purpose in all that suffering. And he knew his purpose when he was going to that cross, but he had to be obedient unto death when he was willing to go. And because he took our sins to the cross, we can be saved. We can have eternal life. That is the good news of Good Friday. It's not that it was good that he had to suffer and die for us.
Right.
But the fact that he did created a way for us to be restored to God and to eventually be with God in eternity. It's one of those things. And if we think about our world today, we see a lot of evil in our world. And we see a lot of situations that sometimes make us feel hopeless. But Easter is a reminder, and Easter is tomorrow, and it's a glorious holiday in the church, that Jesus did triumph over that grave and that we have reasons to be hopeful.
There's so many things that, as a believer, you have to go through, and we're talking death,
right?
All types of sickness, depression, and not having that hope that we do find in the scriptures, for me, is unimaginable.
It's hard to know how people, I see people who right. don't have faith in my practice. I have seen people for years, but it's really hard to understand how they can maintain a hopeful attitude in life when sometimes we're so beaten down. We're looking at, issues like you mentioned. We have to deal with illnesses. We have to deal with divorce and families, children acting out, problems in family relationships. And then if we look at the world and, hey, we just went through a week, and I know people are still talking about that co-pilot on that German Wings airline. And, you wonder, I had to go on national news. I had to talk about depression and suicide. And I have to say, it's not typical for someone to take a plane of strangers in a suicide pack down with them, if that truly is what happened. But you certainly have to wonder if that young man felt completely hopeless about his situation.
It's hard to imagine. I don't see, like you said, how you can step into the cockpit of an airplane and do that type of thing. And the amount of despair to want to end your own life is one thing. But like you said, to take an entire crowd with you, that's a different level.
It is, but we have to understand with depression that people feel like there is absolutely no way out. It isn't always a rational response, but people get to the point where they feel like there is absolutely no way, no solution, no way of escape. And of course, when I hear that, when I hear people say there's no way of escape, it reminds me of a scripture. Because the scripture says there's always a way of escape with Christ. Mm-hmm. And so that hopelessness that people feel is really a terminal condition in our culture if people don't have any faith in the Lord. And that's why it's so important for the church to be the encouragers of faith. That's why Easter is so important.
Right.
Because we can say, hey, there always can be a Good Friday in your life.
Right.
But guess what? Easter's coming, and we have reason to be hopeful.
It's like Paul said in 1 Corinthians, but thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's talking about victory over death.
Right.
And that's exactly what Jesus accomplished on that Sunday after Friday. He came forth and said, death, you have no sting. Here is the hope that I'm bringing to the world.
And if we don't understand that sometimes the situation and the circumstances in our lives looks really hopeless at the time. If we put our eyes on the circumstances, we can really get down. But if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, and I think about that story where Jesus was, they were in this big storm and things looked awful, and they were all in the boat. The disciples were in the boat, and Peter saw Jesus coming and walking on the water. It looked a little bit like a freaky, wasn't
it?
See this figure come walking on the water. Mm-hmm. But what's so significant about that story for me is that when Jesus told Peter to come out and step out in faith, when Peter kept his eyes on the Lord, he didn't sink.
Right.
But when he took his eyes off of the Lord, he began to sink into the water. And that's such a message for us when the circumstances look so grave and they look so difficult and looks like there's no way that there's going to be anything good that comes out. We really have to keep our eyes focused on the Lord and trust that he's going to work things out in a way that we can handle, and that there always is hope in any situation, no matter how difficult it is.
When Jesus approached the man who had been paralyzed for 30 years, he said to him, what would you want me to do for you? So Jesus is there to offer that hope.
Yeah.
All we have to do is approach him and ask him about it. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. It's great to have you with us here today. Be sure to catch up with Dr. Linda on Facebook at Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and on Twitter at DrLindaHelps.com. We will be right back.
Hi, I'm talking to Alana Brangman. And what do you hope for this Easter?
I hope to go home to my family and friends and my church community. And I hope that we have a good church service on Easter Sunday and we reach out to the community and teach them about Jesus and his resurrection.
We need to talk.
Here we go again.
I'm in trouble.
Uh-oh, something's wrong. This is gonna be a long night.
Oh no, not again.
What did I do this time?
We need to talk. Four words that can stop a conversation and grip us with anxiety. Let's be honest. These words usually mean something is wrong, and we are about to go into the world of feelings, a place not everyone likes to visit. If you are smart, you won't begin a conversation with these four words. The phrase, we need to talk, puts most of us on the defensive. We need to talk takes time and energy. It can be exhausting and doesn't always end with a quick fix. But the idea behind we need to talk is important to making our relationships work. It's our cue that something needs to be addressed.
Dr. Linda Mintel's latest book, We Need to Talk, is available now in bookstores everywhere, or visit her online at drlindahelps.com. drlindahelps.com.
Hi, I'm talking to
Nate Street.
And what do you hope for this Easter?
I'm hoping to see just Christians around the country to really be able to reach out to their non-Christian friends and people they work with and just really share with them what the true meaning of Easter is and just get to see revival in this country and see people understand who Christ really is.
Well, I love that. So what happened here, Chris, is that we sent our woman on the street out to ask people, what do you hope for this Easter season? We also asked you to respond to this on social media. We got a lot of great responses. We're going to read a few of those. We got responses from Africa and Germany as well.
Around the world.
So that's the beauty of social media. Anyone can chime in. But it's a good question. What do you hope for this Easter season?
Well, it seems like the person on that MOTS was most interested in, he wishes or hopes to see more evangelism take place, which is something that we should focus on year-round.
Right.
So it is a good... Easter is a good time to sort of calibrate yourself and think more about evangelism and think more about what Jesus did for us.
You know what? That's a really good point, because one of the things I read, and I don't remember the statistic exactly, but I read that if people wish they would be invited to church on Easter, and that the people who wish they would get invited only, like, I can't remember, it was like 2% of those people actually get asked to go to an Easter service. So if you're sitting here thinking about it, and you're thinking it would be great to invite my neighbor or my family member or somebody that I know, at least ask them, because it sounds like from the research that they want to be asked and that they actually would come to an Easter service.
I've got neighbors like that.
Yeah.
Huh.
So you need to ask them. I'm going to ask you next week if you ask them to come to Easter service.
Along with this show comes a little accountability.
Yes, it does.
Great.
You know, you're talking to a therapist. What
can
I say? Hey, well, this is what April said. She said this is her hope for the Easter season. She said, for my children to see how important it is to keep their eyes on Jesus. Now, I love that, because she's talking about children.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just look at how we celebrate Easter generally in our culture, it's all about the Easter bunny and the eggs and the everything is so commercialized that I think parents do have to be really intentional about how they celebrate such a holiday.
You know, Awula came in with her comment on social media and says she hopes for a closer relationship to the Trinity. Now, how often do you hear someone refer to God as the Trinity?
That's really great.
When we pray, we talk to God or Heavenly Father or Jesus, but she hopes for a closer relationship to the Trinity, and that's a big wish.
That is, but that's a good goal. That's a good hope to have. Tammy said, I love this one. Well, you're going to laugh on this one. Here's what Tammy said. I hope for a world of old people who have no regrets.
Wow, that would be great.
I don't know what the old people part of that is. I guess she hopes that when you get older, you can look back at your life and you can have no regrets. Maybe that's what she means by that. But hey, we'll share your comments, no matter if we think they're interesting or a little unique. That's a unique one.
Ingo from Germany is spot on. She says, I've been trying to slow down, work less, be more aware of how fast time flies by. And this Easter, she's hoping for another reminder that's what's truly important. And she knows it in her head, but she doesn't always live it. And she's not alone, because I think we can all attest to, we've got it up here. I'm pointing at my brain. But do we live that out? That's a tough one.
It's a good time for self-evaluation. Mm. Adam says, what I'm hoping for, I always feel that this time, Easter, and this is related to what you just read, is the time of year when I truly assess where I am as a Christian. So I'm hoping I'm on the right track, where I am, what I'm doing, choices I'm making, and I'm hoping I am. I mean, you need to rest in that hope. If you're doing it, God is going to honor your heart there. In my heart, I'm hoping to spend more time with my family. Hmm. And I wonder how many people have that as their hope to be able to spend more time with your family, because it's really important.
Well, Dr. Linda, when you talk to someone as in the therapist role, and let's say they come in, They are not necessarily a believer. How do you instill hope in someone when you know where your hope lies?
Right, right.
But if they don't, if they haven't reached that point yet, how do you navigate that?
Well, here's always the good news, that the principles of God are always borne out in psychology. And when we research things, we always find that they fit with what the Bible says. It's no surprise, because God is the creator of all things. So one of the things that we know is that hope is really critical to our mental health. And without it, we can become depressed, and we can become negative, or we can give up. And Chris, I think that's part of what happened. If it is true that that co-pilot was suicidal and gave up, he obviously lacked hope. He didn't have hope in his life to go any different direction than he thought it was going. So it's critical to our mental health. It also influences our thoughts. It influences our emotions. When we have hope, we believe that good things can happen. It even influences our recovery when we're sick, and it helps our overall sense of well-being. Now, here's an interesting one. There's a study that shows that people who hope mm-hmm. have higher grade point averages. So all you college students and high school students, listen up, because if you have hope, you're going to have a higher GPA.
Oh, wow. Now, let's go back. In addition to the GPAs, you mentioned that someone with hope also can actually be physically more healthy.
That's right. And that is, again, the mind and the body are so connected. So our outlook on life, when it's positive, it makes positive things happen inside the body, especially when we're keeping stress down and we're able to keep those cortisol levels, which are part of the problem in terms of if they stay mm-hmm. on all the time and they're constantly wreaking havoc in the body. Hopeful people are people who have a better outlook on life. So that's a really positive thing.
So mind over matter is actually a real thing then?
Well, mind really affects matter. I would say that it really has an influence. Hopeful people are also more confident about the future. So again, think about it. If you're just hopeless and you're walking around and you see no solution to your problems, mm-hmm. or you feel like there's no way you're going to deal with this horrible diagnosis, or you feel so beaten down. I talked to a man this week who said, I went through this terrible divorce. I just feel so beaten down. I just don't feel like I can even do the things in my life I need to do. And part of the counseling that I gave him was that you need to hope. You need to look at the things that went wrong, learn from your mistakes, and move forward and start taking charge of your life in the ways that you can take charge of it, because that is really important. And that's another one of the benefits of hope, that in our relationship, hope motivates us to keep trying. Sometimes we can be disappointed by the way other people don't meet our needs. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people don't always do what we want them to do. But if we hope in him, as Joshua 1:5 says, he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He'll never let us down. If we hope in Christ, no matter what people do, we still have the hope that God is working all things for our good and will move our future in a positive direction.
How can someone who is hopeless affect those around them? Is that even possible?
It is, and it really is, because one of the things we know, that if you hang out with negative people, you mm-hmm. tend to become more negative.
It's very true,
it's kind of contagious.
Yes.
And there's a theory, and I won't get into that too much, but this social contagion theory that has that same idea, that when you're hanging around with really negative people, people that are sort of down and they kind of always see the glass half empty instead of half full, it affects you, and you sort of, you know, you catch it. You sort of, it's contagious. And then you start to get hopeless in mm-hmm. terms of the way you feel. So that's one of the things. If you're in a circle of negative people, you need to be the voice of hope. You need to be an encourager. You need to tell people that there's always a way through a situation. God doesn't promise us that he will take us out of our problems.
Right.
But he does promise that he'll walk through it, through those problems with us, and he'll bring us to the other side. And the other side isn't always what we think it's going to be, mm-hmm. but we have to trust that if he's with us, and he is God, Emmanuel, he is with us, that he will walk us to the other side.
Psalm 3:3 says, "But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me, and then you lift up my head."
I love that.
Isn't that an interesting
yeah.
phrase? Because
yeah.
I mean, when you physically are down,
Your head goes down.
Your head drops.
Yeah,
right.
And you think about it, just mm-hmm. all the pictures in your right. mind of when people are feeling down, the head is down, their eyes are not looking at the person, they're looking away. And if God, if you can just picture that, God right. taking you by the chin, just putting his arms by your chin, I'm doing it right now, you can't see it,
right.
and lifting up your head and saying, I am the lifter of your head. And what he's saying is, even though there was that dark Good Friday where all hope was lost, I always think about his disciples on that day.
Oh, wow.
You know, they've been following Jesus. They believe he is the Messiah. And then they see him die on the cross. And I don't really think they grasped
no.
the full prophetic words that he was saying to them, that I will, you know, in 3 days, the temple will, you know, I'll be destroyed and then the temple will be rebuilt. I don't think they really grasped what he was saying. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could have grasped that
no,
if
right.
he was saying those things to me.
Well, they didn't have the canonized scriptures that we have
that's true.
To look through the entire thing and say, okay, yeah, that's how that was going to play out. They were definitely hopeless on that day.
Yeah, and I remember on Palm Sunday, our pastor, you and I go to the same church, and I remember our pastor was talking about how the people really wanted Jesus to destroy the Roman
right.
rulers. You know, they didn't want to hear what Jesus was saying, is that, hey, guess what, guys? You're still going to have to pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to be under Roman rule. The temple's going to be destroyed. That had to be a very
yeah.
down message for those people to hear. And yet, God had a plan to restore them and to bring them into the hope of his salvation.
Right.
He was giving them eternal hope by his resurrection, and they didn't understand that at the time.
The hope is there, but sometimes we just don't know quite where to look, and that's been a case in human history since the beginning. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. We would like to hear from you on Facebook at Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker. And, of course, you can keep up with Dr. Linda at Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps. And we will be right back.
Hi, I'm talking to Imani Banks. And what do you hope for this Easter?
I hope that this Resurrection Sunday will be well spent with family and friends, and we're all just going to come together and celebrate the true meaning of the holiday.
Conflict is a normal part of our lives and relationships, but the desire to avoid it and the tendency to handle it poorly can get us stuck or even in trouble. Therapist Dr. Linda Mental expertly leads you through successful conflict management so that you can enjoy more secure and peaceful relationships. She offers real-world advice based on solid research for marriages, parenting, extended family, ex-spouses, blended families, and even friendships. We Need to Talk, available in bookstores and online.
Hi, I'm talking to Andrea Coleman. And what do you hope for this Easter?
Well, luckily, my birthday is actually on Easter this year, so I hope to have a great day and also to enjoy the celebration of Jesus' resurrection.
And welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Hey, Chris, somebody has a birthday on Easter.
That's right. How about that? A basket of Easter eggs, birthday gifts?
So is it like Christmas where you only get the Easter basket and you don't get any other gifts?
Got plenty of chocolate for my birthday this year. That's right.
Right. Well, I hope she gets an Easter basket and an Easter present for a happy birthday and happy Easter to her. We have a bunch more people who weighed in on social media. So Paula says, this is really deep. I mean, some of our social media people have some really deep answers here.
Mm-hmm.
She says, hope is not a course of action, but it is the coal that keeps the fire burning and the engine turning. By his death, I received hope. I have made a choice to follow him.
She's made a choice to be hopeful.
Right, and to follow the Lord. Right. But that's very poetic, even.
It is
kind of
nice.
Deep.
Yes.
You know, could you write something like that?
Of course not. No, absolutely not.
We won't ask you to do that.
Speaking of social media, if you would like to keep up with Dr. Linda and be a part of this program, you can do that on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps. Scott did, and he says, I hope those who feel hopeless and lost realize that there is a God who loves them no matter what they have done in their past, and that this nation of lost souls comes to Christ.
Yeah, I mean, that is such an important message, that no matter what you have done in your past, that we serve a God who forgives and actually forgets. He wipes it clean, and he says, if you follow me, you can become a new creation, and the old things are made new. That is just, who wouldn't want that? I that's what I always wonder. I wonder who wouldn't want to have their past wiped out and the chance to start new and have a fresh start. That's what Jesus offers us in the hope of his resurrection.
That could be an important part of evangelism, is making sure when you do present the gospel, make sure that you present that hope as well. So it'll click with someone who says, wow, if that's what's being offered, how can I not take that?
Yeah, it's hard to resist. Here's what Connie says. Connie says her hope for this Easter season is to refresh and restore, recharge God's gifts in this season of resurrection. She wants to appreciate and acknowledge laying her burdens at the foot of the cross. She sees this as spring season, new beginnings. Love for Mary as she watched her son suffer on that cross.
Wow.
Certainly puts my troubles in perspective. Mary, her son Jesus, his grace is sufficient. She says you have to strive to help others to seek comfort in turning their lives to the one who gives them hope.
That's it.
It's awesome. Wow. That's an awesome response.
You know, Adam takes this time of year to assess where he is as a Christian. He says, I truly assess where I am as a Christian. So I'm hoping I'm on the right track, where I am, what I'm doing, choices I'm making. And in my heart, I'm hoping to spend more time with my family. Great. Easter is a great time for that.
Yeah. And I think
I used the word earlier in the program to say it's a recalibration of where you are spiritually.
It's kind of like coming out of winter and going into spring. You know, you're kind of looking at the deadness there and trying to get new life going on. And finally, we'll read the last one from Capri, who says, family time is her hope. It is our last one before the oldest one takes off for college and our family dynamic changes. And the best part is when we have a warm church family to celebrate with this Sunday. So it sounds like a lot of people are really thankful for their church and the way that they have hope. Well, if you are feeling down and you are feeling depressed, or you're feeling even just like you are just kind of overwhelmed, maybe even just beat up with the stress of life, it's our hope this Easter that you will see that Easter is a season of hope, that you would hope in the true God, that it is what Jesus did on that cross but rose again. It's such a glorious holiday for the church. We have hope because Easter is a glimpse into our eternity. Yancey, one of my favorite authors, points out that the physical stars that Christ suffered remained on his transformed body as a reminder that painful memories may never completely go away, but the hurt of those scars eventually will. And as we rebuild our lives from devastating times, remembering that Easter reminds us that someday we all get a new start, then tears will be gone and suffering will be no more. It's a great thought. Well, I want to say many thanks to our co-host, my co-host here, Chris Weigel, our woman on the street, Erica McLeod, and our producer, Paul Vanderbosch. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, remember, every Saturday, we are here and we're doing life together. And guess what? It's better when you don't have to do it alone. See you next week.
Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WWMC Radio, Lynchburg, Virginia.